This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Somebody recognized this song right away.
Oh, man.
You didn't take her last name for the record, right, Wade?
Well, that depends, I guess, on who you have.
Welcome back to a long-lost episode of the Roundtable Discussion on Strength and Hypertrophy. We're joined today with Coach Wade Johnson Nails and Rob Regish. Congratulations to Wade Johnson. He got married recently. That's why we have had been off the air with this particular show. And we've had lots of emails from people telling me that they missed the show. Interestingly enough, I got emails from a couple women who listened to the show. I am really impressed, by the way. So congratulations to Coach Wade Johnson and now Julia Nails Johnson, who were recently married. May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, time to drink. There you go.
Yeah, it makes it easy for me to remember that I have no excuse. So,
you know, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. Very good point. But anyway, but today we're going to be talking about something that is really a critical discussion. You cannot talk about progression in weightlifting or gaining strength, building muscle, or just weekend warriorship without discussing overload. And overload is what gets us, as Rob Regish likes to say, to Gainesville. Right, Rob?
You got it, brother.
There's lots of ways to manipulate overload, isn't there?
There are. And, you know, I'll be happy to get into it, but I'm really excited about today's show because overload, it's generally accepted that overload is the trigger for muscle growth. You know, there's a lot of things in this business where we debate all day long and have disagreements, but it's a physiological fundamental law. Overload is the trigger for muscle growth, and yes, there are multiple ways to go about it.
And Wade, from the strength side of the coin, isn't overload also the trigger for neuromuscular adaptation and increases in strength?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I have some different philosophies as I generally do about that. But I think if you're smart, if you're calculated and you plan well, certain methods of overloading can be very, very productive.
Okay, so get into that. You said you have some different opinions of that.
Yeah, and these are, again, this is based on experience, and one of the things that I see, like with bench press, you know, using the board press in an effort to overload, and when I say overload in this particular case, is using a weight that typically you wouldn't use in a full range of motion. And what I have found with that you have to temper that, because everybody, if you're a 500-pound bench presser, but I can put a four board on you and you do that for 600 pounds, that tends to be a lot of fun. It strokes the ego and also can make you stronger on the top end. It can also be part, as you discussed in the opener, it can condition the central nervous system, you know, to handle heavier poundages.
Right.
There's a flip side to that. It's a double-edged sword. Too much of that, and it has a negative effect on the central nervous system. And, you know, the muscle system, your connective tissue and joints, and even bones. I've seen people that used weekly were overloading, and then they get to the meet in the bench press, and I've seen forearms break, not at the wrist, in the middle of the forearm. I've seen it happen more than once. And that is a very nasty, nasty injury, and it's also an extremely difficult injury to come back from, especially if you plan on never being competitive again, but it's difficult enough just to come back from it and it be normal, because generally once bones break like that, they're never 100% the same.
Well, never mind but I got to believe that experience causes the trainee to back off dramatically.
Sure. Now I've seen those people come back. If I'm not mistaken, it was John Black that had such a horrific knee injury squatting, and then the following year he comes back and not only does he squat, you know, he hits a PR. There's ways to come back from that, but if we can prevent that, if we can temper, you know, having fun, the ego, and look at it, that's why I said in the beginning, if it's calculated, if you plan well, then this can be a very, very effective tool for your strength training.
Okay, so it sounds to me, Rob, like there could potentially be a couple meanings for overload, depending on whether or not your goal is to accrue greater strength or hypertrophy, or am I off base here?
No, you absolutely, you know, you hit the nail on the head, and so did Wade. You know, you talk about planning. The big question when overload comes up is how to best go about it. So here's what I think is important to understand about overload. There are two different types. One, you've heard me speak before to alpha strength, and that can best be thought of as your one rep max. The other is beta strength, or the ability, your ability to move a total tonnage amount per a certain unit of time. So let's talk about each. Alpha strength. A lot of people know who Ryan Kennelly is. He's the current world record holder in the bench press, an astonishing 1,075 pounds.
I know, so it's more than a half a ton.
It's more than I squatted, and I'm on the all-time list.
So, you know, some mind-blowing numbers. But that's, you know, the pinnacle of alpha strength. Now, a lot of people know, again, who Ryan Kennelly is. Not many people, though, know who Jack Atherton is. Jack Atherton, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, benched, are you ready for this? 1,134,828 pounds in 12 hours.
That's amazing.
That comes out to about 1,500 pounds per minute, or in more practical terms, this means he did around 4,320 reps with approximately 263 pounds.
You know, that's not, you know what, I was just going to say something. I thought you were going to say he did, like, you know, reps with 135. 263 pounds is not chump change.
Yeah, well, it's an illustration of what he had to lift. And so even if you're not familiar with these two people, Ryan Kennelly and Jack Atherton, you don't need to see pictures of them to know they've got a whole lot of muscle on them.
Right.
The point I'm trying to make here is this. There are two different ways, at least two different ways, to overload the muscle and to stimulate muscle growth. In my opinion, you need to use both, and we do use both in the blueprint.
So what do you, okay, so you need to use both, except if you are a power lifter whose only objective is alpha strength. Is that a misconception, Wade?
I don't agree with that. I think you do have to go both methods, and I'm going to tell you why. I try to temper the alpha strength approach that Rob uses, for instance, and which I've always done, you know, what our max load is, you know, for a single rep. We use that, but we also do certain things where what I'm looking for is not just one rep to go balls out, but say do a certain movement with three reps or six reps, and the movement would be something that would allow us to use a heavier poundage than we would normally use in a full range of motion, and those types of things with the rep scheme that I use in the bench press when we're training without equipment, those speak completely, you know, to beta strength. Now, it's not, you know, the crazy reps, you know, that Jack did, but it's outside the typical, you know, for strength we need to do one, you know, sets of one, sets of two, or triples or something like that.
Right.
And So we've done those things. And so I think it is important to do both. It's not just about, you know, the most I can lift in one movement. It's how do I condition someone to lift the most that they can in a full range of motion for a competitive lift, whether it be powerlifting, Olympic lifting, or strongman. And you're seeing overload movements even in Olympic lifting, and where I've seen full range clean and jerks and snatches done with bands attached to the bar, which was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
But I've seen it done, and I've seen it be very, very effective.
Okay, we have to take our first commercial break. When we come back, I want to discuss this notion of these two different types of overload and how they need to be applied in order to maximize strength gains and hypertrophy. We're talking today with Coach Wade Johnson. Wade, please plug your websites.
You can find me on Facebook. You can also email me at supersquat800@yahoo.com. The websites are johnsonstrengthgroup.com and weightliftingdiscussion.com. And I'd love for the listeners, I get a lot of email or Facebook messages, to check out the forum, post their training, and post their questions. There's a lot of people that read but don't really post, and I'd love to see a little more traffic on the forum.
Okay. And then, of course, Rob Regish, author of The Blueprint and now formulator of Synthogen. You can find out about his products by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro Series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro Series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to
AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones,
and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Midnight tonight is the deadline to take advantage of the new Omega-3 CoQ10 patch from AgeForce. Buy one, get one free. You don't have to sign up for any of their auto ship orders. You can just buy a one-month supply and get a second month for free. Check it out. Go to superhumanradio.com. Midnight. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I take that back. It was midnight last night. Today's Thursday. I'm sorry. Somebody shoot me now. Sorry.
Never mind.
I'm a schmuck. Anyway. Okay. Everybody knows it anyway. It doesn't matter. It's not like I told them something new. Anyway, okay. Alpha strength and beta strength, okay? I'm not familiar with alpha strength and beta strength, quite frankly. Okay. So is it best to combine these two modalities of training during a single session? I want to go to Wade first, just, and then I want to come to Rob, because I know that Rob has this detailed in blueprint. What do you think, Wade?
I generally don't, and here is why. One for me doesn't lead to good performance in the other, because usually my lifters are shot. You know, we're moving on to assistance after we've done something, whether it be a board press for a certain amount of reps, or even, you know, a one rep max. And we use all sorts of different heights with blocks when, you know, for deadlifting. So, you know, usually once they've gone balls out on something, they're, you know, they're pretty well shot. And for me, you know, with my training, I want to go all out like that, but I try to, it's a risk reward thing, you know, so there's that point of diminishing returns, and I try to leave just a little bit of something. You know, I want the guys to be able to walk out and be able to function, you know, because it, with the training weekly, you know, it just will beat them to death. So I, you know, that's a long explanation, but I tend to use the overloads and things like that to focus on particular issues and limit them to a once or twice a month thing in addition to their full, range rep training.
What do you think, Rob? Can you combine alpha strength training and beta strength training in the same session?
You can, and we do. We do that in the blueprint. It's important to point out, though, I think that that's dependent upon two things. First, for people that are just starting out and getting familiar with both of those types of strengths, I do think it makes more sense to separate the sessions so that they can do each one justice. The second factor is there's a time and a place. And by that, I mean, within Blueprint Shell, as you know, we have three distinct phases. The combination of alpha strength and beta strength training only takes place in one of those, albeit it's the longest one. Personally, I find that a lot of the success that guys are having with Blueprint is due to the fact that they're able to combine those, but it's only after they've been introduced to the principles and alpha strength is raised first.
Okay, this is to both of you. What about a periodized program where you're focused on alpha strength for a period of time, let's say 3 months, and then you focus on beta strength for 3 months? You think alternating like that is an efficient way to take advantage of these two modalities of training? Wade, I'll go with you first.
I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. I think it's one of those things where focusing on one thing too much creates an issue, or maybe even better, and Rob will be able to speak to this better than I can, but it creates an imbalance in your training, because what I'm trying to do while we overload, and whether that be with the two different types, or the two different approaches we're speaking about, the bulk of our training is, full range, full rep, type of motion. So that's the bulk of the training, and the overload is much more used as a tool, as a facet of the training. So it, for me, it's a combination of looking at each lifter and setting up their program and using those overload movements not only to make them stronger for a one rep max, but also, like I was speaking before, to use that to address certain issues or certain weaknesses, because it's one of those things where we're taught to address our weaknesses, but I think there's a lot of wisdom also in keeping what is strong, maintaining that strength. So I try to use a combination of those things and not focus too much on one thing unless it is just so out of whack that it becomes necessary to focus that long. But I generally, for a 12-week period, 16-week period, I would find that to be too long. 6 to 8 weeks might be doable. I like to do things generally, we'll focus on something for 3 to 4 weeks and then we'll see how it goes. But there are times, especially even in my training, where I've done that 6 to 8 weeks and focus on that. And then, but after that, I think it becomes a detriment.
What do you think, Rob? What about periodization?
Completely agree there. See, the issue being is as you raise one training quality at the expense of the other, the other drops through the floor. So let me give you a good example. Let's say you do spend 3 months raising your absolute strength. The problem is your work capacity in terms of total tonnage, it disappears.
Rob, let me interrupt you, and I'm going to tell you why. What Rob is speaking of, and I'll make this as brief as I can, is exactly where I'm at in my training, because I'm still an old strong SOB, but because of how I have taken a break from the type of training that that Rob is prescribing, that kind of intensity, I don't have near the work capacity that I had 6 to 9 months ago, and this is exactly what I'm facing right now.
Yeah. Me too, believe it or not.
If you study traditional linear periodization, which is to say, the weight is lighter, but the volume is greater, but as the weeks roll by, it spirals you down into a one rep max and a very low amount of, of volume, in some cases, one set of one, there's your max day. The qualities, the base qualities of work capacity that you built in the beginning, by the time you get down to the end, they're gone. And Louis Simmons, and if you study Westside's conjugate periodization template, correctly diagnoses this flaw, and that's why their system has become, in many cases, the preferred training modality to break new records. Because why? Because they raise all qualities, or many of them anyway, simultaneously, which is much preferred versus, raising one at the expense of the other.
You see, I've never used the term alpha and beta, but I have said to people, I have the voltage, but I don't have the amperage right now. And the amperage to me is the muscular endurance. The voltage is the ability to push some amount of heavy weight for one or two reps. And that's where I am right now. Right now at this point, because I have not trained consistently for a long time and I flip flop from this to that. And then I take long periods of time off and I don't do the right things outside the gym to contribute to my success inside the gym. I still have the voltage, but I don't have the amperage. And so I've been working on amperage lately. I've been doing lots of giant sets with lighter weights and higher reps, and then doing the 90-second rest in between and trying to incorporate more of an interval type of approach to kind of build my amperage back up. But I only do that for short periods of time, and I do not neglect in that same workout at least one set of some sort of maximum effort.
Yeah, and it's important to do both. I mean, this is the round table for strength and hypertrophy, right?
Nobody wants to be big but weak, right?
Right. So if you want to have it all, it makes sense that you need to train it all.
Okay, we're going to be going. I want to take this break early, and I'll tell you why. I had Brooks Kubik on the show the other day, and Brooks is the keeper of the flame of physical culture. And we started talking about some old-time lifters, and he touched on a nuance that I haven't given much thought to. And it speaks to this whole thing of overload and loading patterns. He said back in the day, they had fixed weights. You know, you bought a 200-pound barbell. It was 200 pounds Monday through Friday. Before they had the ability to add shot or sand to them, that's all it was. And then he started talking about Milo. He said, you know, Milo lifted the baby bull, and as the bull got bigger, Milo got stronger. And I said to him, wow, that's amazing. This was an organic overload pattern, an organic loading pattern. It wasn't... You didn't decide I'm adding 5 pounds. The 5 pounds either came on its own, or you didn't add weight. You added reps. And I attributed this to the notion of winding an engine out, you know, further up the RPM scale before shifting. And I want to talk about a different type of overload for a minute when we come back. I want to talk about this notion of not necessarily of keeping weight static, perhaps, but focusing exclusively on reps, which we kind of talked about briefly with this guy, John. What's his name, John? Rob, what was his name? The guy who did the 4,000 reps.
Oh, that was...
We talked about him at the beginning of the show. John Ferrite or something like that?
It was Jack.
Jack. I'm sorry, Jack. In Boston, right, they call guys John Jack. So there you go.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. All right, so look, I thought you were from Massachusetts, Rob. What the hell? All right, come on. Let's take a break real quick. And when we come back, we'll pick it up on the other side. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, Coach Wade Johnson gives us a peek at his journey to a 2,100-pound total at 47 years old. This is going to be a fantastic journey. We're going to chronicle it here on the Roundtable Discussion on Strength and Hypertrophy. We'll be right back.
Expert Dr. Scott Conley comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, Beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine. And no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50, that's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Fatogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murapuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains.
The ingredients in Halo Extreme come right from the folklore of the Eastern Bloc athletes whose strength dominated the Olympic Games in the 60s. Halo Extreme contains oral turinabol, which increases strength, muscle hardness, and muscle mass while not converting to estrogen or DHT. Iron Mag Labs combines this with a powerful ectosterone called 5-alpha-hydroxylaxigenin that has shown to increase protein synthesis by up to 200%. Halo Extreme is a great choice for beginners to advanced users looking for low side effects and crisp, lean, easy-to-maintain gains. Go to IronMagLabs.com today to order Halo Extreme.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. 4936 wisechoicemedicine.net. Can see eye drops. The name says it all.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
What up, y'all? Yeah, soundtrack, what's poppin', baby? Woo! Y'all ain't know, I go by the name of Lupe Fiasco, representing that first stand.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to let you know, we now have a Superhuman Radio Network fan page. I am getting away from using my personal Facebook page as the place for the Superhuman Radio Nation to meet. When you visit the Superhuman Radio website, you'll be challenged with a like us on Facebook. If you would please click that and like us, the more people that get added there, then I can stop posting the shows on both Facebook pages and just focus on one, which is my goal. I'd appreciate your help. Okay. There's obviously lots of ways to achieve overload. We've talked about really just a couple of them. What about statics? What about other modalities that create overload? What about this approach that I talked about going into the break, this notion that never change your weight, just keep increasing your reps? And I don't mean over the course of hours and multiple sets. I mean in a single set. You have to be getting stronger. If you could take 225 and go from 8 reps to 30 reps, you have to have gotten stronger, or am I wrong? Who wants to speak first? Whoever wants to jump in.
I have an opinion.
Go ahead.
On that, and it's timely because lately I've been studying prisoners and how they train in jail. And the fact is, of the weight pits that are still left in federal penitentiaries, the barbells are welded together. The weights are welded on them, in other words, so they can't peel them off and smash guards' heads in.
Yeah.
Typically, there's a 135, 225, and a 315, which they call the Big Daddy. And these guys are, needless to say, are not making five-pound increments. So they nevertheless, make progress and lots of it. That's the hard way, but they're doing so with reps and total tonnage, partial movements, and as you spoke to, Carl, sometimes statics, negatives, and things like that. The danger in doing so is statics, but more so negatives, take a lot out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Negatives are responsible for about 80% of the damage to muscle tissue during training, and de facto are going to slow recovery, et cetera, et cetera. So, can it be done? Yes. Is that the easy way? No. But it's doable.
What do you think, Wade?
Well, I can tell you a few things from my own training. For my bench press, we've discussed numerous times, my second bench day is a close grip decline. And there's numerous reasons why I do that. But, in this particular case that addresses keeping the weight static, anytime that I've gotten, we do a working set of six. And generally, if we can get five reps, to six reps, that's good. We never go past the six. If we're doing six reps easy, then we add additional weight. Four reps or less, the weight is too heavy. But how that addresses what you're saying is a couple of times in my career, I got to 500 for six one time, and then the following couple, 3 weeks, I struggled and I couldn't get six reps. So what I did is I backed the weight down in this particular case, as an example, to 455. And for 8 solid weeks, I would come in, I would do my 2 working sets, I would do my drop set for 8, and then I would go on my way to do assistance. I never varied. I did the same thing later on when I did 545 for 6. I struggled for 2 or 3 weeks. I dropped the weight back to 500 and stayed at that, did not vary, for 8 weeks. And each time, when I struggled with 500, after that 8 weeks, when I came back, I obliterated 500 for six and then didn't look back until I got stuck at 545. And when I did 500 for 8 weeks, I came back and I went on to do 585 for six and 605 for three at the height of my strength and size. So there is something to that. I think when you get past a certain rep range, I gotta agree with Rob, there is some detriment, especially, in the case of the prisoners, there's not really a lot of options, but most of us in a gym, we certainly have options. So, I think it's a very effective way to train, especially when you've reached a point of failure or difficulty. The other thing is with negatives, one of the things that I did, and something that we can address when we discussed my training. For me, the deadlift is the lift that I have the most difficult time with. So one of the things we did is we took my goal weight one training cycle, and this went on for probably 24 weeks. At the end of my deadlift session, we would load the goal weight that I had. And what I would do is start at the top and do a 10 1,000 count negative descending down to the ground. And I stayed tight and static until the weight touched the floor.
Wait a minute, you do a 1,000, 2,000.
But they would do it, they would count, the people that I was training with would count in a descending manner. So it was time under tension with a goal weight. Now it wasn't where I was doing partials with, you know, in this case, my goal was 700 pounds, so I wasn't doing partials or anything with 800 pounds of weight that I would never even attempt to pull off the floor, but it was a weight that I was projected to do and felt my training numbers indicated that I would be strong enough to do.
Right.
And I did this every session, you know, after every deadlift session. I did it without any issue or any issue with injury. Now, I'll repeat, this was when I was at my strongest and the best powerlifting shape I've ever been in. So this wouldn't be something where if you have a 315-pound deadlift and your goal is to pull 405, I wouldn't suggest doing this.
Right.
It's going to take some time to develop that kind of strength. But what I found is when I got ready to pull 700, it wasn't one of those things where you have that moment where like, oh crap, this is going to crush me.
Right.
You know, it was extremely heavy, you know, but I was conditioned for the weight. My central nervous system didn't freak out. My muscles didn't freak out. I was completely prepared for the lift.
Interesting. Rob, do you want to speak to this, or because I have a question too for Wade?
I think first, you know, that's a very creative, you know, valid way to go about getting bigger and stronger, and creating overload. But before I would pursue, I would say a really advanced method like that. One of the methods that I like to use, you'll sometimes hear them referred to as the double progression method. So an example would be as follows. Let's say with a regular grip, strong grip on the bench press, you can perform, I don't know, two sets of five reps with a given weight, let's say 300 pounds. Now, once you've built up to two sets of 10 reps, which would be a progression to what I would refer to as a progression standard in that lift, you would then move on to a variation of that lift that's more difficult back down to five reps, so meaning you would move to close grip bench presses for five reps with an appropriate weight. And of all the variables in strength training that the body adapts to the quickest, I have found that it is the number of reps. And the double progression method is a way of overcoming that. You build up to a progression standard in a less demanding version of the lift, and then move into a lower rep range in a more demanding part of the lift. It works. It works well, and it keeps you from flatlining.
You know, and you know what this reminds me of, and I can't help but use the analogy about an automobile again. But it's like if you think about driving your car, right? You take first gear up to 6,000 RPMs. And then you shift and you're back down to 2000 RPMs again, and you bring that up to 6000 RPMs. It's the same thing. It's like when you finally get to a rep range up here, whatever that target is, then you find a weight that brings you back to where you started with that weight in that rep range, and you try to build it back up to 10. And this approach here seems to be the gold standard for building strength. Is it not?
It is, and it's strikes me as odd is that not many people use it. It may be that it's just so simple, that people miss it. And, you know, little variations, like I just sketched out, moving from a normal shoulder-width grip on the bench press to a close grip makes the lift more difficult. Why? Because, you know, it accentuates more of the triceps, which are a smaller muscle group, and you're going to have to move the bar a further distance.
Yeah. And you know what else, too? What most people do, in my humble opinion, is they get eight reps with 265, so they add 5 pounds, and they want to do eight reps with 270, And then at some point in time, they add 5 more pounds. They want to do 8 reps with 275. Nobody goes, okay, I'm at 265. I'm going to add 20 pounds, and I'm going to go back down to 3 reps.
Yeah, the red flag, the red flag there is 8 reps.
Yeah.
If you take yourself out of your body for a second, you know, and now these are your muscles talking. Hey, man, we've been doing 8 reps. We're still doing eight reps. No reason to go get any more friends.
Yeah. Well, you know what else too? When you go back to the car analogy, Wade. I mean, if you shift up there, when you shift too soon, what happens? Your car labors, right?
Sure.
So you're not really taking advantage of the power curve, and that's the same thing. It's like you don't do that with anything that's designed to develop progressive power. Why would you do it with your body?
I agree. One of the things that we do, just as an example, to address issues when we squat, because most of our training as a lifter is designed for powerlifting, so it's a little different approach than what Rob would use in a lot of settings. But when I address, like if someone has weak hips, we don't just keep adding weight, you know, to their competition stance. What we'll do is we'll make them move the stance out wide and do wide stance squats. And I've seen Louis do this with lifters. A sumo puller that was having hip issues or even flexibility issues wasn't supple enough to get in the pocket where he wanted them. He'd put a collar on the outside of a deadlift bar that's already wide, and then you would put your plate on, and then you'd put your toes to those plates.
Wow.
And then you would pull. And that's used a lot on the West Side style of training to increase not only hip flexibility but hip strength as well. Because what you're doing, like Rob was talking about, is you change the primary focus point and where and it will teach you also to recruit other muscle groups. Because ultimately, I'll give you a different analogy. What I tell people, when you look at the bench press, a lot of people think pecs, shoulders, and triceps. And so I go, let's look at it like a locomotive pulling 100 cars of steel. 3 locomotives might be able to pull it, but they really struggle it. Now we engage, where Rob was saying recruiting some friends, we engage the lats that are the strongest muscle group in the upper body and the bigger one, the biggest one. So we'll add 2 engines to that. Then we add the traps. We'll add an engine there. Now we're going to clean up your form and teach you to arch a little bit, you know, so we add an engine. You know, pretty much after we've learned how to use pace on your descent, how to maintain your breathing and tightness and being dynamic, you know, we've got 10 motors pulling a weight that used to only 3 did. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that we're teaching.
Right.
You know, not only are we making those areas stronger that are issues or weaknesses, we're teaching you to recruit and use more components to move the same amount of weight.
We have to take a break. When we come back, I just want to kind of summarize the discussion on overload, and then I want to get into your training. Okay, Wade?
Cool.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now, get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping, too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors. Cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER. Today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, information, check out GetDS.com.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yo, man.
Yo.
Open up, man.
What do you want, man?
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking about the science of overload. Like the word says, you don't want to overload. Overload has to work for you, not against you. So let's just summarize. We'll start with you, Rob. Give us the Reader's Digest version. What are the most important things to understand about overload and to use it efficiently?
Well, I think it's important first to understand that there are two different types, and you should avail yourself to both, that being boosting your one repetition max, ideally in a big compound lift, one for the upper body and one for the lower body. We like to use the bench and the squat or the bench and the deadlift. Subsequent to that, your focus should be on boosting beta strength or total tonnage in the accessory or assistance movements that will raise your work capacity. When both qualities are raised, muscle growth is triggered, you know, maximally or optimally versus just one. Now, whether you elect to do that and focus just on alpha strength on one day and beta on the other, or combine those two, it would be wise to pursue both. We have several different strategies within Blueprint that do that and do it well. Certainly, you know, you can try to arrange that on your own. The one thing I would counsel is keep an eye on your workout frequency, meaning if you see your progress starting to slow down, if you are not getting the required repetitions, if you're not getting stronger, look into increasing your recovery time. Add an extra rest day. Almost always you will be rewarded. You will be giving your body the time it needs to supercompensate and grow larger and stronger after you trigger muscle growth via overload.
Okay. Go ahead, Wade. How about you?
I got to agree with Rob, but one of the things that we do, as opposed to taking time off just because I'm a hard ass and would freak out if I wasn't in the gym, I mean, the day off would be more detrimental because I would, especially in my heyday, I was too much of a psycho. I couldn't deal with it. what we've done is, like we've done a show about the reactive wave method.
Right.
You know, we would track everything that we did. We would notate it and keep an eye on it. And one of the things that I tried to, in coaching my lifters, is not everything we do for progress is linear. A lot of times it's more about how consistent we are. And so we would have scheduled at different times, depending on how long the training cycle was going to be, you know, versus meet day or game day or whatever the case may be, we would have scheduled times where we would do the same amount of volume, but how we lowered the intensity was a scheduled decline in the weight that we used. And then if I saw where a lifter was struggling, then we would pull back as well. So there's no replacement for rest. There's no supplement that is going to overcome the fact that you need rest. So if you do need rest and you're not like me where you freak out if you're not in the gym, you know, then I agree 100% with Rob. If you're like me and you being still becomes more of a detriment because it messes with your head, then I always suggest let's do our work, but let's pull way back on the weight and get the work and work on your technique, you know, whatever the case mm-hmm. may be. Mm-hmm. And I've come out on the other end, you know, in better shape because of it.
That really makes really good sense. The problem is most people don't have the discipline to go in and you know, go work on their technique, put very
completely
little weight on
agree.
The bar. You know,
completely agree.
They're in there like, oh, the hell with it, I'm going to lift. You know, I'm going
to. Well, now I don't. You know, I say that. You know, let's keep in mind. I mean, you know, I had training partners that, you know, would go, hey, you said you were going to do this. You know, and then you get in there and you start feeling better. You know, so it's one of those things where it requires an immense amount of discipline. And I wasn't always successful. I'd get in there, I'd start feeling better. Okay, slap a plate on it.
Right.
You know. But as, you know, as I got more experienced and later in my career, you know, where I had people like Rob in my ear go, hey, you got to get some rest, you know, I would go, well, you know, I'm not going to not go to the gym, so why don't I pull this weight back, make sure that my form is intact. I'll even lighten the weights on my assistants and make sure I get the work in where I can feel like I can live with myself, but I'm not, you know, blowing a gasket trying to do something that simply, you know, my body at that particular time is not capable of doing.
Okay, let's do this now. I want to talk about your training, and then towards the end of the show, I want to talk about the wedding. I don't want to neglect that, so don't let me neglect that. But let's talk about your training first of all. So you are on the road to compete again, and you are going to hit a 2,100-pound total. That's your goal. You'll be 47 years old at the competition. Have you picked a meet already?
I'm looking at November or December. I'll probably lean on December because my guys are looking at a meet in November, and I'd rather be let them be the focus because generally when I lift, it requires all of their focus because even though I'm very experienced and a lot older, I'm a handful. And
really?
I get mean. I get really mean. It's awful. I can
now, when you say mean,
that,
do you start like biting people's heads off? And
I've hit people.
Have you really, Wade?
No, this was early on. You know, I haven't done that recently.
Do you think because you get yourself so geared up for war, like you have to be in that mentality in order to do what you have to do?
I think it's one of those things where it's like, for the weights that I was lifting, it required me to get in a place emotionally, you know, much less physically or mentally, even spiritually, where I have to go to a place that I'm not normally. There's no way I could maintain it, you know, even once a week in training. I just couldn't do it. And, you know, that, again, I don't suggest that for everyone. I'm only telling you what has worked for me. But, I mean, to the point to where my handlers will keep certain people away from me if they antagonize me.
Because they know that they annoy you.
Well, yeah, because, you know, it's
a short fuse.
Because I'll fly off the handle, and that's being polite.
Right, right. Wow, that's amazing. And I have such a different, I've only ever seen you at meets where you were either officiating or you were
right.
holding the meet or you were bringing the monolift, and you're like the gentle giant. So
a lot of times during the meet, it's a lot of times it's like when I'm warming up for squat, which is my bread and butter lift, I get antagonized very, very easily. I don't have an answer
as to
why.
You think it's because you're nervous? You think it'd be because...
Oh, certainly. There's no question. The night before a meet, I will generally go ahead and sleep, but it is ever on my mind. The week or two before the meet, I start getting a little dicey and punchy, you know, and my guys are accustomed to that. They know how to handle me and maneuver me, you know, and what to say and what not to say. But the people at the meet that don't know me, they don't know what the hell's going on with me. They just think I'm some big old crazy guy.
Right.
You know, I'm not one of those guys that comes to the platform and screams and yell. You know, I get up there, I handle my business, I'm very focused.
Right.
But, you know, if you push, you know, beyond my boundaries, I will fly off the handle.
Right.
And I'll tell you about it. And, you know, and that I generally have to apologize.
What are you nervous about? Are you nervous just about when you start thinking, you start to realize the poundages that are going to be on your back and you're thinking, oh man.
It's, you know, during warm up, you've got a lot of free time to think about what's going on. Once the meet starts, once you get to a certain weight, I'm thinking of nothing else but, you know, because people have asked me, you know, do the flashing cameras bother you? And I'm like, I never, you know, I remember when I squatted the 1040, Melissa Garrett was one of my handlers, whom I've trained with for a number of years. And she has such a distinct, loud voice. All I was listening to, all I can remember are two things. Listening to, for her to tell me when she felt like I was deep enough to come up, because I couldn't feel where I was at because of the equipment.
Right.
And thinking, all right, just hold on to your air and don't pass out. Those are the two things. That's all I can tell you, because once she said up, the next thing I heard was the rack command, and that's really all I remember about the
lift.
That's
an amazing amount of focus and intensity. That's just amazing.
Well, and that's the thing is the trick, and what I'm not 100% good at, there's other guys that are much better at it than I am, is channeling all that for the duration of the meet. In the meantime, like when we're warming up, I had the handlers, I was warming up, I was in the high sevens, before my last warm up. My last warm up was like 880 before I opened at 960.
Right.
And I asked him, I knew I wasn't deep enough, but I felt like I was within, you know, okay, another little nudge and I'm going to break parallel. And he said that I was, 4 inches high, and I busted through my handlers and told him that he was out of his bleeping mind. You know, so you got a guy that weighs 365 pounds that is sweaty and is extremely intense, and you're this 240-pound judge that I couldn't tell you the guy's name.
Did you have your beard in a braid at the time?
I
remember when you used to, didn't you have your beard in a braid for a while?
Like, I had just a little bit, but it was my hair that was long and braided. So, it, you know, but you got this guy that's the size of a bear that's busting through big people and, you know, in a threatening demeanor, you know, and he's like, what in the hell? You know, and I could see the look in his eyes. Of course, I wanted to tear his head off. You know, and that's the kind of thing that you gotta, you know, that's where, you know, I gotta be better in control than that.
Rob, wait, you were trying to get this, in there. What were you going to say? Yeah,
did you get this way before the wedding?
No, fortunately. Thankfully, my son was with me, and he was my best man.
Oh,
and,
that's great.
You know, it was other than when we did the vows, was probably the only time that we were ever nervous. And it was more about, I could see that Julia was nervous, and I think it was just, you know, the moment. It is such an intense moment. But Wes was there with me the entire time. And, so it was never, I never got too wound up. I knew going into it, you know, that I would temper it, you know, like I would at a meet now. It's like, you know that there's going to be last minute things. Don't freak out. She's going to need flowers. She's going to need something right at the last minute. Just get your big ass in the car, go get it and bring it back
right,
and be done with it.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter if we're late. They're going to wait on us.
Yeah.
You know, until she stands next to me, you know, the pastor's not going to do anything.
Right.
So just, simmer your big ass down and it's going to happen.
But, okay. So the other question, Dan, you know, this is so interesting to me. I had Mike Miller on the show years ago.
Yeah, I know Mike, wonderful,
and he's another gentle giant, wonderful guy. But you know, when he started to get to that 1,200-pound mark, he had to start seeing a hypnotist.
Sure,
because like the realization of this weight is on your back.
Right.
I don't care how strong you are, you still think to yourself, man, that bar becomes like a cheese slicer at that point in time.
Well, it's one of those things where the amount of times that I trained in the gym with over 900 in the squat was staggering, way more than I would probably suggest another lifter that I coached. It's just what I did. Nonetheless, it was one of those things that once it's staring you in the face, especially a lifetime goal, you know, right. For me, it takes on a different character. So the focus that it requires, let me go back. I'll tell you, a great friend of mine, John Grove, and a lot of people in the powerlifting world will know John. He's the owner of North Georgia Barbell. Great, great guy, great lifter. He emailed me one time after I had gone over well over 900 and knew that I was pursuing a 1,000-pound-plus squat. And he said the biggest difference between a guy that does 800 to 900 and 900 to 1,000 is fear. It's generally not strength. It is fear.
That's interesting.
You know, and I've told people, they've asked me, you know, what was the biggest difference, you know, between 600 and 700? You know, well, 600 was just a hard lift. 700 was heavy. 800 was really heavy. And 900 was scary. 1,000 pounds was painful. It wasn't, when I stood up with 960 to open, I couldn't tell you the difference in pressure, from 1,000. When I stood up with 1040, I couldn't tell that it was any heavier, other than I thought, if I mess up, this is going to kill me.
Yeah.
The amount, I couldn't tell it was heavier. I could just feel pressure.
Yeah.
And it's scary. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to lie. You can see the video and everybody goes, oh, you did it so easy. It was just that I had everything in the pot. It wasn't easy. It was heavy as hell. It hurt. It took me.
Does the bar, when the bar has 1,000 pounds on it, does it not feel like a cheese slicer on your back?
Oh, well, even to this day, I carry a gray haze in a callus where the squat bar sits. And this week was my first training, the first week of my training cycle. And when I got done with my working sets, because I've not trained that heavy for that many sets in quite some time, yeah, I was doing an assistant squat set and I was like, you know, I've turned into a little puss because, you know, I could feel where the bar sits. I was like, man, this is kind of raw and painful.
It hurts.
You know, I'm like, I'm going to cry, you know.
That's funny.
So, you know, it's one of those things where, like we were talking about with Rob, my work capacity isn't where it was. And, you know, once you've done something for so long and now you know, you can't just, you know, take a break from it, even though I've always trained. You know, I just have not trained that heavy or with that kind of intensity, or, you know, it's like, I'm not training for a meet anytime soon, so I won't do all my assistants. I'm tired, you
right.
know, or I'm working with the guys. And, you know, so there's a price to pay for that, you know, and I've had to really keep my pride and ego in check, and I've not done so successfully because, you know, I'm used to routinely handling 405 in the bench raw for reps like a toy.
Right.
Well, shit, I can't do that anymore,
right.
you know.
Right.
It's like, so, you know, I'm going to have to build all that back up. And it comes back.
You know. It comes back. Look, and we will come back. We have to take this last break. And then I want to come back and I want to focus on what you're doing, what you're eating, how you're training. And then we'll talk about the wedding. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. This is the Roundtable Discussion on Strength and Hypertrophy.
Expert Dr. Scott Conley comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, Beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't
Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
She's a very kinky. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, so Wade, what are you doing right now? Where are you? How are you eating? How are you training? Are you using any supplements? Give us a snapshot.
Well, I'm trying to get myself back on the supplement bandwagon. I'd kind of taken a break from everything for so many years. I'd carried supplements and water and food everywhere I went, and it was just time for a break. And so I'm gathering all that together. I don't really have any type of protocol just yet, but what I will do is when all that is together, I'll put all that, you know, on a document, and either I can send it to you or I can post it somewhere where we can talk about it. Right now, what I'm just trying to do is get my food plan in order before I start adding the supplements back. The biggest thing is developing the habit, and then, you know, just the training that's going to be required to get myself ready for a meet. So that the focus right now is the training. Make sure I'm hydrating, and, you know, start eliminating the, you know, like, I've gotten to where I'll drink a couple of Cokes every day and stuff like that, and it's like, okay, I gotta stop that kind of crap.
What about the pizza? Will you continue to enjoy?
Yeah, I'm gonna eat that. That's gonna, you know, I don't care what's going on. I'm gonna eat pizza, and that's just the end of it.
They'll never take my pizza away from me, Rob. Isn't he something? But
I mean, I'm gonna have to temper that. Yeah. Because I had a training friend of mine email a friend of mine, and he goes, you know, talking about some sort of issue, he goes, that'd be akin to telling Wade that there's never going to be pizza again. He goes, I'm not telling him that there's not going to be any pizza. But ultimately, you know, it's one of those things where maybe midweek I can have a cheat meal, you know, and then when Julie and I are on the weekends, you know, I can't make her suffer all the time, you know, with the craziness that I'll be going through as this progresses. You know, where I have a scheduled meal in the, during the week and a scheduled meal on the weekend, maybe two, where, you know, we can go and eat and not have to freak out about it. You know, the thing that's going to be different this time is my entire career was getting bigger and heavier, bigger
right.
and heavier, bigger and heavier. And for the first time in my career, it's about, well, now you got to take all this weight off. And
while getting stronger.
Well, hopefully to just get strong enough to achieve the goal. You know, I have nothing to base that number on other than ego. I want to, you know, I want a total elite and I want a total 2100. And
how do you foresee yourself making that number up? What's the squat look like? What's the bench press look like? What's the deadlift look like?
I'm looking at least a 900 pound squat, a 600-pound bench press, and then a 600-pound deadlift. And the only reason why I'm being so conservative on the deadlift is just from the knee injury. It doesn't seem to bother me squatting, but when I pull sumo especially, which is what I've done in the last two or three years and pulled my biggest weights, it just does not like it. So it's, you know, as I get more into the training, and I don't have any equipment that fits, I'll give you an example. As I started to go, you know, maybe I can come back and do this and feel good about it, I got into a double-ply suit and a pair of briefs that I wore when Wes and I were training together back in 2004. You know, so we're talking about eight-year-old equipment. That is nothing like the equipment that I competed in last year.
Right.
And I easily squatted without knee wraps. I easily squatted. It was either 800 or 805. And so the biggest issue for me is just making sure that I do enough of the conditioning and don't – the strength is probably – if I had to have it like you were going, I will shoot you if you don't squat this weight, I could probably still squat about 950 fully geared and with knee wraps.
Right.
Now, it wouldn't be pretty, and it would probably really hurt,
right.
you know, but I could do it. So it's one of those things that if I can condition myself – I think that the potential to squat 950 to 1,000 pounds, if I don't injure myself, I think is there. But 900, 600, and 600 is what I'm looking for, to ensure that I get 2,100. And,
that's
you
cool.
know, things go well, you know, we'll go balls out and see what happens.
That's exciting. I want to be there for this one. I really do. Where is this competition in December?
The two that I'm looking at will either be, if I'm not mistaken, November is Gatlinburg, December is Cincinnati. So it's
oh,
not a
man.
Far drive.
Cincinnati would
you
be
know.
Great. Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see how things progress. And, you know, right now I'm just trying to up my volume, make sure I start doing assistance where I can, you know, get back into powerlifting shape. But I'm also trying to do this and temper it with, you know, I have a new wife.
A balanced life. Yeah.
And I think, and that's one of the things, especially as a master lifter, let's face it, I'm not going to compete with the likes of AJ Roberts or Dave Hoff or those guys. They're just different animals. And, you know, guys like me have certainly passed the torch on to those guys that are doing amazing things. The lifters that are coming up, and they're young. I mean, Dave's like 23 or 24 years old, you know, and is totaling, you know, what we thought was impossible 5 years ago, you know, and he's a kid.
What is he totaling?
Dave has totaled in the low, right at 2,900.
Holy crap.
Isn't that, yeah, it's, you know, now granted, you know, Dave does things a little differently than I do, but that's okay too.
Right.
But what, he's just a great, great, you know, young man. And, you know, it's like, I'll say this, I could take every drug on the planet and every supplement and I'm never going to stand up with 1,200
right.
pounds, nor am I going to hold, you know, he's made a 1,000 pound bench attempt. I'm not going to hold that over my face. There's no way. I don't have the balls to do that. You know, the fact that he does, you know, is amazing. And I've judged numerous amounts of his lifts and AJ's and other lifters all over the United States. And it is amazing. And not just these super strong guys. There's, you know, there's women out there that are lifting incredible weights, you
yeah.
know, and I'm talking like even the 105s and the 123s, you're like, you know, my goodness, you know, that mechanically are some of the most sound lifters I've ever seen.
You know, it's amazing what the human being have, Rob. It's amazing what the human being can do, what the mind can conceive, they can do.
Yeah, this all of these feats were considered impossible just a few short years ago.
I can recall, in
1990, in my first meet, I remember talking to Scott Taylor. You know Scott, Wade?
I used to be a chair for the American Powerlifting Association,
yeah,
so I know
so
Scott well.
Scott was running the meet, and he was talking about some guy that he says, man, you have potential. He says, do you realize you someday could total 2,000 pounds, which at that time was a huge number.
Sure.
And here we are talking about 2,900.
Scott.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, 2,000 pounds is still considered the holy grail for a power lifter. You know, once you get past that 2,000 pound mark, you know, you kind of separate yourself from the crowd. But yeah, I mean, look at like Donnie Thompson at the Pro-Am last year. And I mean, you know, I scrutinized, I didn't pass his squats. I took his first bench because I didn't think it was locked out, and the guy still totaled 3,000 pounds.
Man.
The only man to do it.
Man. By the way, Scott Taylor, little known fact, you guys probably know this, but he was the masked wrestler. I can't think of the name back in the day when Bruno Sammartino was wrestling.
Wasn't he the motorcycle warrior or something?
Yeah, he used to wear the mask. He was an amazing wrestler. And the poor guy was running through the park one day and puts his leg up on a park bench. It had a rusty bolt sticking out of it. He scratched his shin, and 3 weeks later, his entire leg was infected. Do you remember when that happened? That was like 5 years ago. The poor guy almost lost his leg.
He was at a meet. I think it was a meet, because I remember I was still cheering for Scott when this happened. And put his leg up on something, went to push away. It pushed through.
That's what it was.
Because
okay.
I remember seeing, he showed me the knee, and it is nasty. And screwed the knee up, and yeah, I mean it. I
he's
mean,
had
it,
some
it,
problems, but
he,
he's wa- a great
he
guy.
Walked. He walked with a cane for the longest time.
Yes, I know.
The one thing I remember about Scott is I don't know if it was his place we were lifting at up in Vermont at the time, but he had a sign on the back door that said, "Warning: This facility guarded by a Taylor alarm system, defined as." His two Doberman pinchers and his
right.
50 caliber revolver.
Sure.
Yeah, that was some good times, man.
Okay, so let's hear about the wedding now, because I don't want to take too much more time out of you guys' days. Tell me about the wedding. So you got married on Cinco de Mayo,
mm-hmm.
and it was a wonderful wedding, I would take it. That's so touching that Wes was your best man, by the way.
Well, not only that, the big thing that Julie and I wanted to do, and she's listening, by the way, I got a text. And the big thing that we wanted to do is make sure that we included our children. And so we went out of our way, you know, not really out of our way. We just asked our kids to be there. And so Julia had her son and daughter. Daughter is Haley and son is Drew. Drew walked her down the steps at the place that we had the wedding. And gave her away, and via him and his sister, and Haley got to handle the ring. And the funny aside is Haley had my ring that Julia was going to put on me, and of course Wes had the ring that I was going to give to Julia. And while they were talking about it, Julia told me later, Haley goes, "What am I supposed to do with this ring?" And Julia hands her the ring, and she goes, "Oh, okay, I'll just put it on my wrist." So, talking about the size of the ring.
The size of it, right.
And and Haley is this just an absolutely beautiful child and very sweet, you know, but she has her mother's sense of humor. So it was one of those things where to be with our children on a day like this, and for us, you know, I don't want to get way over philosophical or mushy or anything. You know, it's obvious at this time in my life and Julia's life, this isn't our first, you know, time around.
Right.
You know, but we intend for this to be the last time. So for them to have seen us, you know, kind of falter and make bad decisions, so on and so forth, to come together and to be part of seeing how she and I have changed and more how she and I have changed together, and it was a big deal. And you know Wes and I's history very, very well. And so for him to be there and for the kids to be there all together, he made for a great day.
Yeah. Very,
so, you know, it is one of those things where there's pictures on Facebook and stuff. We haven't got the wedding pictures. Very, very beautiful place. One of my best friends in the world has a mansion, so to speak. It's called Grandale Manor. Look it up on the internet. It is a beautiful, beautiful place. And, we had it there, and there, as opposed to a great big room or something like that, we had several different rooms, and Julia did all the decorating. I'd love to take credit for it. I think I helped pay for it. But she decorated, and I set up the PA. She and I did all that on our own. Took like a couple of hours. And the thing that was great for us is I think the wedding took on the personality of her and I as a couple. And, you know, so it was one of those things where, at this point in time in our lives, just people being there to share the moment. It wasn't like, hey, let's invite 1,000 people and hopefully we'll get all these cool gifts and
right,
stuff. You know,
right.
Julia and I have a house and cars and stuff like that. So there's not a need for that. We wanted people to be there to share that moment to see what she and I consider a huge triumph in our lives.
Well,
so,
I want you to share another moment with the audience. I want to talk about the honeymoon. You
right.
Actually drank on the honeymoon alcohol.
And yeah, I'm not prudish by any stretch.
No.
You know, we have a server in our house, a piece of furniture, not a person. And it has a wine rack in it. And Julie and I will have wine occasionally, and we will, you know, buy a 6-pack of beer or a 12-pack, and over a period of days, you know, we'll have a beer or two. But I would never consider myself, you know, a heavy drinker by any stretch
right.
of the imagination.
Right.
So anyway, you fast forward to we leave, and as we're driving into where we stayed was basically, and she would know better than me, I think it was Grayton Beach, just the
part of the beaches of Fort Walton. By my
right.
by my standards, the best place to vacation in Florida, bar none.
Being from South Florida, I would agree. We were west of Seaside and Watercolor, which is, I mean, just amazing, beautiful place, beautiful beach. The water is just ridiculous. But anyway.
Wait. For people who don't know about Seaside, if you've ever seen the movie with Jim Carrey, Truman, that picturesque
right.
town, that was Seaside. They filmed that whole thing. That's exactly
right.
how that town looks, with the pastel colored homes and everything.
That is
so cool.
And the water is ridiculous.
I know.
It is. And I've been all over the planet. I've swam in the ocean in Hawaii in April, but the beach, especially this time, you know, is just amazing. But we were driving through Watercolor, and I saw this place called Nick's. And on the sign, it said $1.95 margaritas. Now, I am like anyone else that likes margaritas. If it's really good, I want a couple of them.
Right.
You know, and I'm used to the $10 or $12 margarita for a really good one. I've paid that much for a margarita that sucked.
Right.
You know, so, but I was like, for $1.95, we're trying this. So we checked on the house that we had rented, and it wasn't quite ready. So I was like, well, let's go eat, and we'll try one of these really cheap margaritas. We go in, we sit down, and a guy my size is waiting on us, you know, which is unusual. So we try the margaritas, and he brings out two margaritas in the regular margarita glass. We both take a long sip and look at each other simultaneously and go, you've got to be kidding. These are awesome. You know, and so we suck those down as we're eating raw oysters, and we order another one. Well, when he comes back, he hands Julia the regular margarita glass, and he hands me this big drinking glass. He goes, dude, you're my size. You're just going to suffer with these little glasses. And, you know, and of course, 5 or 6 of those later, you know, I'm polluted.
Right.
So, but come to find out.
I would love to see you polluted. That's got to be fun.
Well, she, like I said, I wish she was where she could call in, because she said it was hysterical, because I wasn't like sloppy or anything, or I wasn't like just subdued, you know, but it's one of those things, like with me, I tend to be a little guarded.
Right.
You know, but apparently the whatever shackles I had, they were long gone, and like I said when we were talking, my give a crap factor was completely thrown out the window.
Right.
All I cared about is he gonna pour some more margaritas. So you know, and so we were very relaxed, but come to find out, the guy's name is Casey Nick, and for those people in the strength world, Casey is an arm wrestler. So he goes, hey, a buddy of mine just did a powerlifting meet, Sean Latimer. And Sean is a bench press specialist from a few years back, and is an arm wrestler, and is one of the few guys, if I'm not mistaken, the lat bench pressed 900 pounds, and he was part of the Bench America, a couple of those meets. You know, so it was one
right.
of those things. How small a world that Julia and I are on our honeymoon. We go in for margaritas, and this guy my size waits on us, and he's an arm wrestler and knows, you know, we know people in common in the strength world.
Right, right. That's so cool. So didn't you get a picture of you and him arm wrestling or something?
Yeah, there, if you look, I think it's on my page. I know it's on Julia's page, and I know a lot of the listeners that have hit me up have hit Julia up, and
yeah,
you should. She is getting more and more involved in training, and just so I can brag on her, because it's I'm well known for doing the decline system for bench, and she's really responding to that. And you got to remember, this is a tiny little woman,
right,
that's never power lifted before.
Right.
And I think the extensive part of her experience in gyms have been machines. You know, so, you know, the barbell world is, extremely different from the machine world.
Yeah, yeah.
Last week she did 85 and 90 for 8, and she's had 95 pounds in her hands, and she did 4 or 5 reps, I don't remember specifically. But, I mean, the great thing is the amount of effort and how hard she tries. And, again, for someone who's, you know, not been in the gym, you know, for an extensive period of time lifting, you know, free weight like that, she's having a good time with it, and it's something that we get to, you know, that we experience together. And seeing her progress, of course, you know, keeps me jacked up and inspires me to, it's like, okay, you know, you big fat ass, get down there.
Well, now when you go to the gym, it's like date night.
we're having, you know, it's one of those things where, I know she wants to be supportive, but she also wants to, you know, to get down there and get some work in and improve on herself. And let's face it, how all this started was Julia contacting me on Facebook and said, I need a trainer. And that's how all of this started.
Wow.
6 months later, we're married.
That's amazing. That's an amazing story in and of itself. Rob, I feel bad. We kind of, we've left you out of this.
That's all right. It's, you know what? This is life, and it's so great to hear good things for good people.
Yeah, no.
Well, let me say this, and I know I've talked a whole bunch, but so that people understand, Rob and I talk extensively. Of course, the last few weeks, I haven't talked to anyone extensively,
right,
you know, except Julia. But, you know, he and I talk quite a bit. And I'm not blowing smoke. And people that really know me, especially when it comes to lifting in the gym, I don't blow smoke and I don't say things that I don't mean. I'm telling you, this guy is a gold mine of knowledge. And I fully intend to, as I continue doing this, he is directed me to a couple of supplements to try that I'm going to be trying out, especially for the knee injury. And I'm going to be looking to him for some ideas on how I can get around this leg thing, hopefully to pull something, you know, that will help me achieve this total. But I encourage people, you know, you pick this guy's brain, buy his product. You know, he's going to steer you in the right direction. I mean, I want people to come to my gym and spend their money there, but, you know, the book is, you know, that the reference that is a gold mine. It is never going to let you down.
I know. I talk about it all the time on the show. Listen, we've come to the end of a fantastic show. We've talked about overload and wandered into life's path, and it's been wonderful. We will have another episode of the Roundtable Discussion on Strength and Hypertrophy, not next Thursday, but the following Thursday. It's every other Thursday. If this is your first time listening, tune in then. We'll have more lively discussion. Guys, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks
for having us. Thanks, guys. I again, both you and Rob have been so supportive, and the listeners have been incredibly supportive. Messaging and emails, you know, and you know, passing on congrats and so forth. Both Julia and I so very much appreciate it.
Dude, I texted you the day of the wedding, and I said to him, Lisa, he's not going to text back. I don't think he has his phone on. And like 3 seconds later, you texted back. I was like, oh man, you know what I thought? I thought, I bet you Wade gave Wes the phone and said, just reply to all my texts.
No.
Anyway, listen, great having you guys on the show today. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay. Both. All right, so there you go. Tomorrow is Friday, which means it's Casual Friday. Elisa Profumo is working feverishly on another episode of Casual Friday. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Superhuman Radio. And don't forget, like us on our new Facebook page, the Superhuman Radio Network. See you tomorrow.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.